Blog Talk Radio.
Arms.
Shalom, 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 Israel. Hallelujah. Saints of the Most High Yah. Blessings to you all. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. It is good to be here this evening. We give all praise, all honor, and all glory to the Most High Yah. Hallelujah. Saints, you know the drill, you know the routine. Let me get a sound check. You know, I'm coming through in your area. Hallelujah. Got a 10 from Brother Steve, Sister Wanda, Brother Joseph, Sister Kelly. Got a 10. Hallelujah. Got 10. Hallelujah. Brother Dwayne. Hallelujah. One Brandy Monica. Thank y'all. Appreciate y'all for your participation and feedback. Hallelujah. Glory to Brother Ugly. Bah humbug. I hear you, brother. Yes, sir. Glory to the King. Glory, glory, glory. I go to Faithful 11. Hallelujah. All right, well, we're going to get started here, saints. Glory to the King. To all the saints that are scattered abroad, the beloved of Yah, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from Yahweh, our Father, and Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Blessings to you all, saints. All praise and all honor, of course, goes to the Most High Yah, through Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah, for without him we could do nothing. This wouldn't even be possible. We wouldn't even be here right now. You know what I mean, saints? We would be somewhere else. We would be lost, dead in our sins. Hallelujah. But because of his grace and his mercy, and for him choosing us, it was already predestined. Hallelujah. And so we give Yah all the praise, honor, and glory, and give him thanks in all situations and for all things. Hallelujah. So we have much, much, much to be thankful for. Hallelujah. But we be careful to give him all the praise, all the honor, and the glory. Hallelujah. Want to give honor also to our beloved shepherd, the Honorable Pastor Charles Dow. Hallelujah. And for all that he does, you know, for us, just for being a faithful and true man of Yah, being that example for us in this generation, you know, thinking so highly and having so much fear for the Father that, you know, he feeds his sheep. He takes good care of the flock. Hallelujah. And so I just want to give honor where honor is due. I've never, saints, out of all of the years being in darkness in Christianity, you know what I'm saying? I've never, ever seen a man who cares this much for the people, for the saints, you know, to really give himself, give all, you know what I mean? Just for one, you know, it just surprised me that the time when I was in Louisiana, man, some years ago, maybe going on 6 years now, that, you know, and I spoke with him, and he told me, you know what, no, let me tell you how this works. He said, if I need to come down there, I come down there. You hear me? Even if it's for one soul. He said, that's how I operate. And I was like, well, you know, I would never ask you to do nothing like that. But he said, no, that's not how it works. So this is a man who's dedicated, you know, to this, to really help saving souls and bringing people out of darkness. And really doing a fine job of it, and I'm just thankful for it, and I'm thankful for the gift that we have. That's our gift, saints, in this generation. All of us who can hear the word, whose eyes are open, hallelujah, who can receive the chastisement, the rebuke, hallelujah. It's for us, and it is our gift, and we should be thankful for it and grateful, no matter how it comes off, how hard it might seem, how rough it might seem. But it needs to be so to shape and mold us, especially us with such hard hearts and, you know, stiff neck, you know, and so full of our own selves. We need it. We need this to come forth like a hammer, to bring that word like he's bringing it. Hallelujah. So I'm grateful for that. I'm thankful. And not only Pastor Dow, but all the other pastors, hallelujah, that are associated with us, who are here with us and truly here with us. You know, all of the elders here in Israel and all of the heads of the communities and home fellowships. Blessings to you all. Hallelujah. And but I'm your host, saints, as you all might know. For those who don't, I'm Elder Donnie. Hallelujah. Welcome, you all, brethren, friends, foes, and enemies alike. Hallelujah. To this edition of the Brother Segment, the Straightway Truth by way of Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. And it's just good to be here, saints. It really, truly is. It's good to be here. You know what, too? I'm so thankful that I don't have to I'm not pretending. I'm not lost. I'm not out there, you know, with a false sense of hope. You know, during this time of year, everybody wants to be merry. Everybody wants to be, so to say, kind and giving. But that only lasts for a short time, a very, very short season. You know, but the thing that we're in, this is true. This is real. This is everlasting. You know, we're building and we're working on something that's greater than ourselves. Hallelujah. But I'm so thankful that I'm not just out busted and depressed and you know what I mean, around fake and phony people. You know, I was on a land just yesterday after Shabbat, after Shabbat service, and just hanging out with the family, fellowshipping. It was just so beautiful. It really was, for brethren to dwell together in unity, and it's real true unity. It's not fake. It's not nothing that's put on or made make-believe. You know, you can sense it that it's real, and you can also sense if it's fake. So I'm so thankful that I don't have to do that. But you know how the word tells us, you know, let the heathen rage, you know, let them do that. Let them imagine vain things, you know, and the prophet also told us, you know, learn not the ways of the heathen. Learn them not because they are vain. And you know, you know the rest, you know what they're doing right now. In homage and worship to their pagan gods. And I just want to encourage the saints to continue to going forward in this walk. Be thankful, no matter where you're at, what level you're at. Be thankful and be content. Hallelujah. But be, at the same time, strive. Make it your business to strive. Hallelujah. To enter in at the straight gate. Glory to the King. But I think we have much to be thankful for. There's much, much. The Father's doing a lot with us. He really, truly is. And he's really working on these little wicked hearts of ours. And I just encourage you to let him mold you and shape you. Glory to the King. Psalm 19:7-11. Glory to the King. The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eye. The fear of Yah is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous. All together, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. You hear that? Much fine gold, saints. We don't even know what fine gold is. You know what I'm saying? Many of us have never even seen real gold. So he's saying that the law is more to be desired than the best that you can find, the best gold, and sweeter also than honey. And the honeycomb. Now that's sweet. That's beautiful. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them there is great reward. Hallelujah. That's encouragement. That truly is encouragement. For us to seek and seek after the law. To desire after it. To obey it. To learn it. Hallelujah. To hide it in our hearts. Because look at all of the benefits of it. We bless Yahweh for this, y'all. I really do, saints, because here we are in the restoration of all things. And this law is coming forth and it's being made known unto us and being revealed unto us, you know, the depthness of it and how real and true it is. It's all about life and death as well, you know. If you don't obey, then you die. And if you obey, then you live. And it's not too hard. It's easy. He wouldn't put nothing too much on you that you can't bear. You know, I used to always hear folks say that little stupid and foolish things like, you know, it's impossible for you to keep the law, you know, like it's too strenuous or it can't be done. But that's a lie. You know, we do whatever we want to do. The things that we want to do, we'll do those things. You know, but we make excuses, well, I'm not there yet or I'm not where I want to be. You're never going to be where you want to be because it's predicated upon you and the things that you want to do. But how about what the Father wants? What is his will for us? Hallelujah. But we're seeing now how serious the law is. And when it comes, like, the last judgment that we all had an opportunity to hear, and I pray that fear came from it, and fear was evoked and pressed upon your hearts and minds to see how serious this thing is. You get to see a pastor where judgment came down upon him. And if that don't make you fear, come on now, saints. This thing is serious. None of us get a pass. Nobody. But the encouragement here this evening is to just, and the reason why I read this is to for us to embrace that law, to really have that at the utmost and to hold it at the utmost high esteem in our minds, saints, in our hearts. Hallelujah. Doing whatever we can to get it in our hearts. You know what I do, and I make a habit of doing it, is writing out just a small portion of I go to the law, for instance, and I write out a passage and put it on some index cards. You know, while I'm at work, what I'll do when I get a break is I'll read over it, you know, and continue to read over. I might read over the same one for a week or so, or even more. Just keep reading it and reading it. You know what I'm saying, saints? Just to get it in my heart, you know. But I tell you what, saints, you can't go wrong. When you look at, you know, what's laid out for us in the law, the benefits of it, you know, and how we will be blessed, you know, how we will be the head and not the tail. It's just so much good that comes from it. You know, Yah is a just. He's a just Elohim. He truly is. And he's for us, saints. But he needs all of us, each and every last one of us, to be obedient servants. Hallelujah. To die out to our old wicked selves. Die out to that old fallen nature. Let go of that little piece that you're still holding on to. For what? Let go, saints. Be free. Hallelujah. But there's so much to say, so much to be desired, even yet still in this hour that we're in. So much to be learned about the law. And as Pastor was bringing it out on yesterday, and that particular one that that Pastor was brought forth to us, you know, I've been reading over that one too. But as he pointed out, you know, we don't, and even in that, I didn't really focus that much on the guilt offering. You know what I mean? I read over it, but didn't really hone in on that. You know, we don't do those things. We don't give, you know, when we're found guilty, you know. And the other portion of that is too, you know, you confess when you are guilty. You know what I mean? You confess it. You've been caught wrong. You've been down bad. You lied. You stole. Hey, you confess of it. But that guilt offering, you know what I'm saying? You know, things like that are so far from our mind, you know? So far from it. I'm so proud and arrogant that, hey, you know, I don't have to give nothing. Why? That's a true thing, though. If we were to give, according to our transgressions, as according to the law, the man of Yah shouldn't have, you know, he won't have enough space to hold those off, you know, those offerings. He won't. But hallelujah, we need to be obedient and diligent. Hallelujah. And by all means, try to keep that law and try to follow it. No doubt about it. Psalms 1:1-4 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. But saints, if we really take heed to these words and not view them as poetry, but if we really take heed to these things and really expect these things to happen, expect to prosper in all of your ways. You know what I'm saying, saints? Expect, you know, the blessing and the outcome. But first and foremost, it requires us to do a certain thing. We must be diligent, and we must delight. You hear that? Delight in the law of Yahweh. Wipe all that foolishness out of your mind. Wipe all of it out, because even now, still talking to saints, I even hear it, and they'll admit it. Ah, I still got a lot of that garbage in my mind. I did this when I was supposed to do this, and not even, ah, it's just that tug of war that goes on, you know? You know you should be doing a certain thing, but yet, I'm still tied to this, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. Well, guess what? Do whatever you need to do to wrap your head around it. Get on board. Sure, I know it's easier said than done, and I'll talk about it a little bit later. But we must do it, saints. Each and every last one of us must do it. Whatever we need to do. Hallelujah. We need to delight in this law. We need to meditate on it day and night. Hallelujah. And just the other day, you know, saints, I had my son in my arms, and I was, just talking with him, rocking him in the chair. And I had a Bible right there, and I said, let me pick this up. Let me read to him. Let me read something to him. And I picked it up in Deuteronomy 6. I'm going to go there real quick. Deuteronomy 6, starting at verse 4. And this is what I read to him, just trying to get it in his mind, get it in his heart, repetitious, continue to read to him. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh, our Elohim, is one, Yahweh. And thou shalt love Yahweh, thy Elohim, with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. And they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when Yahweh thy Elohim shall have brought thee into the land which I swear unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Beware lest thou forget Yahweh which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from out of the house of bondage. Glory to the King. So this is telling us that we need to be consumed with this word. Not only so, but to teach it to our children. They need to know it. We need to always talk of it. They need to always hear of it. Constantly on their mind. Constantly on our mind. Wherever we go. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Bless y'all, son. But thanks, it is good to be here. It is an honor to be here before you. I want to thank each and every last one of you for joining me this evening. You could have been anywhere in the world you wanted to be, hallelujah, but you decided to be here in fellowship with the saints, with the Most High Yah. And we give Yah all the praise and honor and glory for it. Glory to the King. So it's not for me. I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be, none of that stuff. But I just want to be obedient, hallelujah, and whatever way I can to provide some type of encouragement or to provide some type of help unto you. Maybe just one thing said may be helpful to you or uplifting to you, or just to help you along in this journey. Well, then hallelujah for that. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. So moving on, saints, I just want to talk to you this evening about something. And what I'm going to do is I purposed it in my heart to really take advantage of this time, this opportunity, which we call the dead season, to really go back into the past messages and things in which, Pastor preached on. You know, it's always good to go back and refresh or go back and just really spend time. Because I know sometimes during throughout the year, when we have scripture study and we have all of the the Sabbath and all of the blog talks and things. It's kind of difficult to keep up with everything. But there's a good thing that we have this opportunity now in this day of season. You know, we're not going to have any scripture study for a few months here. But just to go back over those old, you know, those scripture study teachings, go back over those Sabbath teachings and take your time with them. And so that's what I plan on doing. And so tonight, we'll be just talking to you. But at the end of this, I want to play something from one of the scripture study classes they did just last month. He spoke before Teacher Shane got up, and it was some real sobering words. And I want to just rehearse it in your ears again, just so you can hear it. You know, just see how serious this thing is, how serious this walk is, how each and every last one of us need to really take heed, you know, to all the words and take heed to the teachings, because it's for our benefit, thank you, for our growth and just for us to really excel in this thing. But I want to talk, you know, briefly here about, you know, the Pharisees, you know, Messiah. He had a time dealing with them, scribes, the Pharisees, you know, Sadducees. You know, he called them hypocrites. You know, you mentioned that many times to me. You hypocrites. The thing I want to say, thanks, is you got to be careful that we are not classified, considered as hypocrites. All right, thanks. Expecting more of others than we're able to do ourselves, or you know, portraying to be one thing when we're really not. We don't want to find ourselves in that place. But I will reflect on this one thing in Matthew chapter 5. You know, this is what Messiah spoke, and these words are relevant even to us today, very much so. And he said this, Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's a lot that was said in that one verse there. So first you got to realize that there had to have been some righteousness in the scribes and Pharisees for him to even say something like this. Because, you know, when we hear about the scribes and Pharisees, we tend to think negative of them, hallelujah, but we never really dive into it and see, okay, different attributes of their lives and their point of view, or just give a second look at it, you know. But he had to have said that for a reason, you know. And tonight, I'll do just a brief study of them and look at them and just the life, the characteristics of them, and just really see, you know, some things that we ourselves, you know, fall short in, and some things and some ways in which we can change and improve. You know, it's so easy to see others. You know, when we read these accounts, we can see their faults, you know. But put yourself in that situation, you know, in that time frame, and see, you know. So it's important for us to really take heed to these things. I'm going to start, I said, really focusing on the Pharisees, all right, because they were like the top one, all right? They were pretty much cream of the crop when it came to keeping the law and being strict upon the law, having just this loyalty to the nation of Israel. They were really popular, and they were the ones, you know, who's who among, you know, those that knew the law. They were in fact teachers of it, hallelujah. But the word Pharisee itself, it means the separated ones, or separately. Of the three prominent parties of the Hebrews, of the Yehuda at the time of Christ, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the Essenes, the Pharisees were by far the most influential. You know, meaning they had the power to persuade, power to control the minds of the people, and they were also very dominant and authoritative and distinguished, meaning that they commanded great respect. You know, we look at Luke. Let's look at Luke here, 11 and 43. And it says, woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogue and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. So he's telling them straight up, man, y'all ain't no good, man. Y'all are places for dead people where dead folk lie. There's nothing in y'all. Nothing whatsoever. You think of a grave, man, it's hollow. There's nothing to it, nothing desirable at all, nothing. No life dwells in that thing. And see, the people that they had the influence over, the people that they were so-called teaching, they couldn't even see. They couldn't even pick it up. You know, see, Yah, he knows all things. He knows the heart of all man. And that's what Yeshua was doing, exposing their wicked heart. He even told the disciples, you know, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, man. Watch that. Watch that doctrine that they promote. You be very, very careful of them. But the Pharisees were also known as Chesedim, meaning loved of Yah, or loyal to Yah. And according to Josephus, first century historian, that's where a lot of information comes from, you know, his writings and stuff, because he was, you know, he wasn't one of those historians who wrote of it years and years after the fact. He was actually amongst them during these time frames, and he's recording, you know, these accounts of what he actually experienced and saw. But according to Josephus, their number at the height of their popularity, talking about the Pharisees, was more than 6,000. The Pharisees were immensely popular with the people. They, the Pharisees, made up one-third part of the Sanhedrin, which was a council of judges in the time of Christ. The Sanhedrin exercised not only civil jurisdiction according to the law of the Most High, but also criminal. It could deal with all the judicial matters of an administrative character. It was the final court of appeal for all questions connected to the law. The Pharisees were the actual teachers of the law. And a few examples of notable Pharisees whom we all might know of are the Apostle Paul. Many of us know of the Apostle Paul. Also, Gamaliel, the Apostle Paul's teacher. Hallelujah. Also, Nicodemus. And Josephus, who I just spoke about. Hallelujah, the first century historian. If we look at the Apostle Paul, the accounts, when he mentioned about being a Pharisee, Acts 26 and 5 and Philippians 3 and 5, it says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, blameless. And he also, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he told King Agrippa that he was of the straightest sect, and he lived as a Pharisee. All right, Gamaliel, as the Apostle Paul said, then there stood one up in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Also, the Apostle Paul himself told us that he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel and taught according to the perfect manner of the law. All right, Nicodemus, another one who we all may have heard of. You know, you remember Nicodemus came to Yeshua by night, you know. And, yeah, he's the same one that went to Yeshua by night, you know. Asked him questions. He said, you know what, you know, he knew that he was had to be something special about him, because no man could do the miracles. No man could do the things that he was doing if it weren't so. Hallelujah. So, but these are just a few notable ones that we may know. And see, Josephus, one thing I did read about him was that he chose the best. He wanted to be among the best. He was very bright. He was able to remember stuff. He was able to really comprehend stuff, even at a young age. And they sought to him for counsel and all such things. But what he did was he wanted to be so, how do I even say it? Because he wanted to be one of the top ones and learn from the best, that he even found one of the Pharisees. And for 3 years, he lived out in the wilderness and just lived and just was content with just with the bare minimum, hallelujah, just to learn a certain discipline. And he wanted to be the best. And he tells us that when he had actually achieved what he was set out to achieve, you know, he left and went on about his business, his way. Hallelujah. But the thing that I see and I've been observing about them, the Pharisees, that is, that set them apart from any other, these are a few characteristics of them. They were legalists. They were loyal and devoted to their nation. They were also very, people would say, ceremonial. They were really big on the outward show and appearance of things. These are some things, different characteristics of them. And I'll look at one here, as I have legalists. A person or persons who place primary emphasis on adherence to the law. Strict adherence to the law. Now, for me, that's not a bad thing. All right, that's not a bad thing to do such a thing. You know, they wanted to have that that law, and you know, you even see how they dealt with the Messiah, how they would always come to him, and it was always based upon the law. They weren't coming at him, you know, a lot of times with their own opinion. It was basically based on the law, and they were really, you know, trying to keep it to the best of their ability. But you look at how constantly they, you know, antagonized the Messiah, you know, by interrogating him and things like that. For example, you know, when they asked him in Matthew 12 and 2 about the disciples and is it lawful for them to do things that they do on the Sabbath. And we see how, you know, the Messiah answered them. You know, he would always answer them in such a way where they couldn't even respond back to him. Hallelujah. So they thought they had him. And, you know, see, that's one of those things, you know, even with us, we need to watch. You know, we'll try to question authority. We'll try to question preaching, rebuke, and correction, not even really comprehending the law fully. And these people didn't even realize you're dealing with the lawgiver. You're dealing with the one who actually gave the law unto Moshe. How are you going to deal, you know, try to question him on it? So, you know, we got to watch these things. They were very haughty, too. They were. And as I brought out, you know, they seek to have have the preeminence and to be seen of others. They really did. It was just in them, just high and lofty. And they expected it. They desired it. Hallelujah. But they place strict focus and attention on the law, and as I say, which is not a bad thing. One aspect about the Pharisees that I like was that they refused to assimilate. Hallelujah. They refused to assimilate. They rejected and fought from becoming Hellenized or becoming Greek. All right, I'm going to read something to you. But it's from I'm gonna move on. I'm gonna get that for you in just a minute. I'm gonna go on. And another point I mentioned out of characteristics of them was ceremonialism, which is defined by stressing careful attention to form and detail, having no real power or influence. It implies strict attention to what is prescribed by custom or by rituals. The Pharisees became a closely organized group, very loyal to their heritage and to each other, but separate from others, even from some of their own people. They pledged themselves to obey all facets of the traditions to the minutest detail and were sticklers for ceremonial purity. All right? Let's take a look, thanks, at how the Messiah dealt with them. If we look at Matthew 23. right, Matthew 23:23. It says, "Woe unto you, ye scribes and Pharisees, ye hypocrites, for ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to have leave the others undone." It says, "You blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." Hallelujah. So he started up dealing with them, you know. So basically, you know, he's telling them, at first he's saying, you know what, y'all deal with certain matters, but then certain matters, then y'all don't even touch. Y'all don't mess with them. But it shouldn't be so. Y'all should deal with all of them. Hallelujah. He also warning them about, you know, cleaning the outside of the cup, you know. They were real big on doing things so that they can be seen, and things that, you know, the human eye can see, things of the natural sense. But wasn't focusing too much on the inner. You know, and the Messiah mentioned also in another passage that, you know what? If you work on what's on the inside, it's going to show forth on the outside. It's going to be seen. And that's a lesson, too, to us, saying, and many people who come around, who visit the, you know, assemblies and show up Shabbat, it's cool to do that, no doubt about it. But you come there on those days and you put on a show and on the front, but that's not really who you really are. It'll be seen. It'll be manifest. Not one of us can really hide, thing. Not one. You know, and you shouldn't be trying to hide at all. You should be trying to get help. You should be trying to get help by all means, you know, seeking out for help, crying out for help. Don't worry about if you think you look like a fool, whatever the case may be. Seek that help. Try to get some help, saying to the Most High God. That's why we're here. We don't have time to be putting on the front and on the show. For what? For who? You know, we ain't going to make it in like that. If certain things that have to take place, we have, like Pastor talked about yesterday, you know, about cleansing it and purifying and getting ourselves ready. You know, this is a golden opportunity. This is the time here to purify ourselves and to sanctify ourselves. If we only look at the examples that were set before us, you know, it'll show us how we need to do. But, you know, we don't view this word as such. You know, it's just another thing. We've been entertained half to death. You know, these things, you know, they're good for the moment. You know, they invoke some type of a fear, or if you want to call it that, for the moment. But then afterwards, hey, what do we do? But if we just focus in on it and look at how, like Pastor brought out, you know, how the word was sent to them, the children of Israel, to cleanse yourselves, you know, and be ready upon the third day. Be ready to receive when the Father comes. And we know, saints, we know that day is going to be, it's not going to be no joyous day like people think. It's going to be it's a serious time. So let's use this time, saints. Let's use this opportunity that we have. You know, not playing around, not shucking and jiving, you know, hee-hee and ha-ha, thinking it's all good. But no, let's get free, by all means, saints. Let's get ourselves clean and be ready. Hallelujah. Because all these messages are coming forth, they are dealing directly with us and getting ourselves together, not hiding, not putting stuff off on other people. No, it's personal. It's personal to each and every last one of us. You know what I mean? So let's do that. But as I have written here, let us not be consumed with ceremonial washings, such as bathing when we return from the market, and washing of cups, pots, and brazen vessels, and fasting twice a week just to say that we fast, or just to tell people that we fast. All right? Let's not do those things. Those things, they profit us nothing if we do it for those vain reasons and purposes. Hallelujah. But we need to make, let's make a distinction, though, you know, between the ceremonies and ceremonialism. the law given to Moses by the authority of Yah did in fact authorize certain washing of hands of the priests before offering sacrifices. And you find it in Exodus 30, 20-21. And remember, these were commanded by Yah. But the Pharisees had apparently considered washing as a great act of great importance in itself. And as a result, added many washings. So if we look at Matthew here, Matthew 15. I'm going to start at verse 1. Then came Yeshua, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? You hear that? Why do they transgress the tradition of the elders? So right then and there, you know, what's going on here? That don't hold no weight. What are you talking about? Let's read on, though. For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. So where do we find that at in the law? Where is that an issue at? That's in fact what it says, tradition of man. But verse 3 says, but he answered, talking about Yeshua, he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandments of Yah by your tradition? So now we got an issue. See, he's finding an issue with them, fault with them. Why do you do what you do in transgressing Yah's law? Now we'll jump down to verse 7 here. Matthew 15 and 7 says, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesied of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines, the commandments of men. Hallelujah. So we got to be careful that we don't operate in this manner. You know, a lot of times, you know, you especially, and I can remember coming into this way, you know, I remember certain people, they were just so particular about just everything. You know, you can't sit here, you can't do this, you can't do that, you know, you can't have a light on Sabbath, you can't, you know, all kind of foolishness. You can't wash your hands, you can't wash your face, you got to just stop all of that. It's foolishness, you know. All these made-up things, all that stuff is just, that's not important. Thanks to Mosiah. And I know there's still people all that do that, and they live by that stuff. And, you know, they drive themselves crazy with all that. Hallelujah. But that stuff ought not to be. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Moving on. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. But saints, what good is it to know the law and to not do it? Why are we still holding on to our own book of the law? How many times Christ talks to us about that? I mean, having our own separate little private book of the law that we want to follow. You know, certain things we would adhere to, we would obey them. But then others, I'm not going to go there. I'm not there yet. Why do we still hold on to these things? Why are we so stiff-necked, saints? Hard-headed. Why? Why do we pick and choose what we will obey and what we will ignore? Yah wants us to be Israelites, not only in words, but also in deed. Not having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You know, this reminds me, Brother Mitch talking to an elder, Elder Mitch talking to him just Sabbath yesterday. And, you know, he told me, you know, it was a very good habit to establish. And what he say he does is, like, if he's listening to a message, you know, and Pastor always tells us about those high-octane pings, you know, that we may feel when he's preaching about a particular subject. You know, and it might be one that really gets deep down and it touches you, it gets you. it's one of the things where you really don't want to hear it, but you kind of like fighting on the inside, that type of thing. You know, Elder Mitchell said what he do is he take heed to that. He'll write that down and really focus on that and go back and listen to it. Because you know how we do? You know, we like to skip over. If we do go back and listen to the message, if we do go back and listen to the video, we'll skip over certain points, you know, that really are targeting us and that are really pinpointing us and issues that we have. But instead, I would say he goes ahead and jots that stuff down and he continue to listen to it over and over and see how, why it's affecting him in such a way, you know, really analyzing and examining himself in that area, not running from it. See, that's how you get true deliverance, you know, you face it head on. Glory to the King. What a really good practice, something to really to develop and really to gravitate towards. You should be doing anyway. When we look at this wicked heart, saints, it is wicked, no doubt about it. And it's definitely evil and deceitful. Glory to the King. Look at Jeremiah. We look at the prophet here. You know, I was at work one day, and just thinking, meditating, and it came to my mind about this particular verse here, Jeremiah 17:9, talking about the heart. And you know, we've heard this many, many times over. Many, many times we've heard this. You know how that heart is, right? But I was saying it in my mind, I was playing it in my mind, this verse, and it was like the heart is above all things. And I was like, hold on. Above all things? Wait a minute. I said, man, as soon as I get a chance, I'm pulling that one up. I gotta. Above all things. You hear that? And it's talking about the heart, the thing that lies within us, that's connected to our minds, the way we think and focus, you know, all the cares and the things of us as being, as human beings. The central part of us, that heart, that thing, that there. It says the heart is deceitful above all things. Now you take a minute, saints. Take a quick minute. Think about some things. Think about just anything. Anything you could think of that's wicked, that's just deceitful, that's just detestable in the eyesight of Yah, things that Yah hates. Think about those things. Are you thinking? Now, of all those things you can think of, above all things, right? That wicked heart is deceitful above all of that. And it is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? I tell you what, the Father knows, hallelujah, our wicked hearts. And we can't hide. We can't run from him. Hallelujah. Jump down in that same chapter, that verse 13. It says, O Yahweh, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. And they that depart from thee shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken Yahweh, the fountain of living water. But I'll tell you what, man, that's why it's so imperative for us to really, really embrace every single thing that comes forth in this ministry. Every single thing. Just really dealing with the heart. People do not like to deal with the heart. They don't like to focus on their own wicked heart. You know, it gets deep. It does get deep. And it gets personal. But it's only to help. I'm going to read a few things from the Apocrypha here in Sirach and Ecclesiastes. Hallelujah. And see, this is the thing that Yeshua, when he walked this earth, when he had these encounters with the Pharisees, the scribes, you know, and all of them that was joined with him and cahoots with him. The thing he wanted them to see the most is their little wicked heart. And that's the one thing that they could not They could not get past it. They could not see themselves for who they really were. They could not humble themselves. So that's the one thing. And see, even in this generation, you think about it, Saints. Think about when you look out or you know of people that's out here in these other camps all over, calling themselves Hebrews, calling themselves Israelites. You know, the one thing about them you can see, and they have the characteristics of the scribes and Pharisees, were, you know, they all about the outward adorning. They're all about the things that can be seen. But the one thing they will not focus on is that heart. The one thing they don't touch, they don't mess with it at all. They're so full of themselves, so full of ceremonialism, so full of all of these things, right? And they have a nerve to call us Christians. Oh, they just Christians over there. Yeah, they say Jesus and this and that. They're still Christians. Man, but look here. Look at y'all, man. And see, that's the one thing I did like about the Pharisees. You know, they was not about to assimilate, you know, into to no other culture. They was not having it. By all means, they wanted to preserve. You know what I'm saying? Because they was in captivity, too. They wanted to preserve, you know, and go back, you know, to the old path and implement their own custom, their own heritage, and promote that. I don't blame them for that part at all. Hallelujah. But it's the fact that, you know, going overboard and you know, just making that a law right there, making that the law, you know, all the things that can be seen, all the things that can be touched and the praise of men and all these wicked things that really have no value to the soul. How many times do I have to tell you about, you know, looking the part and looking? You can look all, you see, a lot of y'all got nice change of garments, you know. But man, when you uncover all of that and you get to the inward parts, man, man, you just like these folks looking at these open graves. I'm going to read here from Sirach. Sirach chapter 3. And just listen to this stuff, man. Listen to this thing. Sirach chapter 3, and start at verse 25. It says, without eyes, thou shalt want light. Profess not the knowledge, therefore, that thou hast not. A stubborn heart shall fare evil at the last. And he that loveth danger shall perish therein. An obstinate heart shall be laden with sorrows, and the wicked man shall heap sin upon sin. In the punishment of the proud, there is no remedy, for the plant of wickedness had taken root in him. For the plan of wickedness had taken root in him. The heart of the prudent will understand a parable, and an attentive ear is the desire of a wise man. Water will quench a flaming fire, and alms make it an atonement for sin. Excuse me, and alms make it an atonement for sins. Verse 31 says, and he that requireth good turns is mindful of that which may come hereafter. And when he falleth, he shall find and stay. Jumping over to chapter 1 there. Sirach 1 and 26 says, if thou desirest, thou desire wisdom, keep the commandments, and Yahweh shall give her unto thee. For the fear of Yahweh is wisdom and instruction, and faith and meekness are his delight. Distrust not the fear of Yahweh when thou art poor, and come not unto him with a double heart. Be not an hypocrite in the sight of men, and take good heed what thou speakest. Exalt not thyself
lest thou fall and bring dishonor unto thy soul. And so Yah discover thy secrets and cast thee down in the midst of the congregation, because thou camest not in truth to the fear of Yahweh, but thy heart is full of deceit.
Hallelujah. I'm going to take a quick break here, Saints. I'll be right back. Hang in there with me, Saints. I want y'all to hear this audio clip. Y'all be blessed. I'll be right back. I don't go nowhere. Hallelujah.
Shalom. This is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E. 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
You ever felt like you want to turn away? Things now are made new. I have to say goodbye. Well, I will say goodbye. All things created, but the old man dies. He tries power, but the flesh controls. I'm tried by the fire. Pure gold. Man, I turn away from my past life, cause my past life was all up in that past life. Switching, changing lanes, amazing I ain't crashed right. Requested salvation, but I ain't even asked right. Until one day I came face to face with my maker. Glory, hallelujah, almighty creator. Then I started to hunger and thirst, but he told me that you gotta start killing that old man first. So
I'm trapped by the fire that comes.
ask for this, but man, I'm glad I know the end of this. Now I'm finally living righteous. If it wasn't for the law, I wouldn't have known that sin exists. I ain't got a mansion, but I got a room in it. My house needed cleaned, so we put a broom in it. And now I let the spirit move in it, lead and guide my way as I die daily.
All the things that I would do, feel like I couldn't. All the things that I should do, feels like I shouldn't. Human nature has to, nature's gotta kill this flesh.
All the things that I would do, why I feel like that I couldn't. All the things that I should do, man, why I feel like that I shouldn't. I don't really understand it though, but if I suppose explain the best that human nature got to do nature's. That's why I gotta kill this flesh. Never seen, it hasn't even hit my mind, all the things he has waiting for me.
Ears ain't never heard, eyes ain't never seen, it hasn't even hit my mind, all the things he has waiting for me.
Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Yah is good. Hallelujah. Saints, I thought I just added in there. as a little bit of encouragement. Glory to the King going forward. And also, really, you know, taking heed to that. Make sure you surround yourself around positive people. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter that we in this faith, we in this walk, you know. It doesn't matter, you know. Satan, like what the pastor just said yesterday, you know, don't have the mindset that, you know, Satan is not among us. He is amongst us. Hallelujah. And don't be afraid and don't feel no certain kind of way if you want to separate yourself from someone who is not striving for holiness, who is not striving for perfection. Nah. Free yourself. You know, you don't need to endure all of that. You know, all of that stress, all of that contention. You don't have to be in agreement with all that. You don't want them to, you know, to bring you down. You don't need all of that in your life, especially not in this walk, because Satan is not without, you know, saints. He's within. And believe that. Glory to the King. So make sure, saints, surround yourself around positive people this year. Really, truly be encouraged. All right. I want to read something else to you. Hallelujah, on a line of praising, hallelujah, and then I'll wrap it up and tie it up with what we were talking about, subject at hand, hallelujah, but I'm going to go here to Jeremiah again, go back to Jeremiah, glory to the King, bless y'all, thanks for welcome, glory to the King, that's right, yes sir, we need it, yes sir, you're welcome, glory to the King, give me 1 second here. All right, Jeremiah 17. I'm going to start here at 23. And it says, but they obeyed not, neither inclined their ears, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. Oh, yeah, let's see. No, that ain't even the one. We'll read it anyway. And it shall come to pass, if you diligently hearken unto me, said Yahweh, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, the hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work therein. Then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah, and from the places about Jerusalem, and from the land of Benjamin, and from the plain, and from the mountains, and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, and meat offerings, and incense, and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of Yahweh. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. We give all praise and all honor to the Most High. Yeah, thanks. But as I go here to wrap it up, I'm going to just say this. You know, saints, although the picture of the Pharisees, scribes, have been painted, you know, to us throughout the years, and even we can see it in the gospel, it's been painted with a negative slant, hallelujah, and no doubt, rightfully so, because we can't deny the truth, because, you know, you can tell a tree by its fruit, and it is clearly manifested and it is clearly seen. What is in the hearts, and what was in the hearts of the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But the admonishment is for us, saints, to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. So, saints, you know, it's one thing, you know, to know the law. It's one thing to be proficient in it and to acknowledge it. That's cool. But if all that, we have all of that, and yet we don't, you know, we don't truly honor the Most High, yeah, fully. You know, we're just putting on, and, you know, we're not really, really trying to obey. But, you know, and it's one thing to, you know, like I said earlier, to be picking and choosing the things that we will obey and the things that we won't. You know, I'll use myself for example, and I'll be honest. And with a particular situation, I don't have any particular one in mind right now, but I'm just thinking, and I'm going off of, you know, what I experienced. Let's say a particular time I was supposed to be doing something, or I was I knew it was something I was supposed to do or change, but yet there was something just pulling and tugging and grabbing, like, nah, man, I don't really want to do that. I don't really want. You see that? I don't want to. Me. See, that's the problem right then and there.
If we're servants, then we're supposed to be dead to ourselves. We're supposed to be dead to all of those things in which, you know, we want to do that bring comfort or that brings joy to, or whatever the case is. That's not, that's contrary, I should say, you know, to what Yah wants us to do. And you know what? I can, and it's been times where I've done things where I've just done them just because, you know, like, oh, I'm going to go ahead and do it. But see, my heart wasn't really in it. You know, Yah sees all of that and he knows it. And the thing about it is, it comes forth. It's seen of all. See, those are the things that we got to come to terms with. We can't pick and choose what we're going to obey and what things we're not. You know, it's good to sit up here and talk about the law and read scriptures on the law and actually read from the law. But at the end of the day, you know, Yah knows if we're truly, truly sincere about, you know, this walk, if we're sincerely true about serving him and giving up our all to him. We can't fool him. But he don't want us to be hypocrites, thanks. Yah does not want us to be hypocrites. He doesn't want us to just be, you know, going through the motions. You know, we had better take heed of our own situation. And especially the situation that just happened with Tatum. You better all take heed to it. You know, because, you know, we end now. We don't want to find ourselves without. Glory to the King. And none of us are exempt at no level. We have to continue to strive. It says press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. Not just sit there and lounge and just expect it to fall in your lap. No, man. You got to be getting yourself washed and clean. You got to be getting yourself purified right now. Not based on no ceremonial cleanings or just to be seen to men or just to say, oh, I know this or I do this. No. Really, truly being clean. And we can see the performance of it. We can see the fruit of it. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. Because it's going to be seen. It's going to be manifest, whatever it is, in your heart. Even in my heart, it's going to be seen. It's going to be known. Hallelujah. So none of us can hide. Glory to the King. So that's what Yah is expecting of us. Read a couple more passages here, and I'll play that excerpt from a past scripture study. And shout out to you, to all my brothers and sisters overseas, Brother Case, Brother Mike, Brother Freddie, all our brothers. We got Brother Steve, Brother Sister Wendell, Brother Ugly in Canada there. And any other brother or sister that's out there, you know, that's listening in. Maybe you'll listen in tomorrow, whatever the case is. Shalom and blessings unto you. I know Brother Case told me he likes it. He really enjoys when I go back and replay something that pastor has gone over, and just to refresh him with it and bring it back to him. So I'll play a little excerpt in just a minute here. Just want to read just a couple of things to you all. Okay. See, we got, let me go to John here. John 6, 29. Yeshua answered and said unto them, this is the work of Yah, that ye believe on him whom he had sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Yeshua said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gave you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of Yah is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto you. Hallelujah. And I'm going to go down to John 5. John 5 and 46. And it says, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. This is Yeshua speaking. For he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Hallelujah. So it was already in their heart. They didn't even believe Moses, as they claimed, you know, and as they claimed, you know, Abraham as their father. It wasn't even really in their hearts. It wasn't even so. Because if it were, they would have believed. They would have known Messiah. And I pray and I hope that we know him. Thank you, Most High Yah. And that we truly know that what we're in, the thing that we're doing, without a shadow of a doubt, that it is the true way. Hallelujah. And that we are his people. Glory to the King, and that we are justified, hallelujah, by the blood of Yahshua, that we don't have to sin, hallelujah, that we do not have to deal with no condemnation. Glory to the King. Pray that we know these things, okay? Glory, hallelujah. But our saints, as I go here, I want to just, once again, it's been good being here with you tonight and fellowship with you. You know, wherever there are two or three gathered in my name, you know, Yah, you know, he's in the midst of it, as you say. Glory to the King. And so we do all of this, in the name of the Most High Yah, Yahshua HaMashiach. Not taking none of this stuff for granted, not taking one day for granted, hallelujah. But I pray, saints, that we are growing from year to year, you know, and month to month, that we are actually growing. None of this stuff is just, you know, going over our heads, and it's not just for entertainment, or it's not just a fad, or it's not just a thing to do, that we're actually taking heed, hallelujah. That the fear of Yah is coming upon us even more so. So that we all may hear and fear. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. I want to remind you, saints, just to keep Elder Felix. Hallelujah. Bless you, Brother Jordan. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. You're welcome. Hallelujah. Elder Felix. Keep Elder Felix in your prayers. Keep him lifted up. Glory to the King. He's encouraged. He is, but you know how important prayer is. You know how it can change lives. You know the power of it. You know what it can do. So keep him lifted up. Also, saints, continue to pray against our enemies. Be diligent in it. This is a war. This is battle. So let's make sure we are sharpened, keeping our iron sharpened, our swords sharpened, and fighting and being diligent, you know. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. You know, Satan is busy, you know, saints. Even, you know, during this time of the year, even though a lot of us, we don't participate in the wickedness of this, the world and these heathens, you know, even still, man, Satan has a way of trying to get us, throw us off course, or get us to fight against, you know, these people. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. So, saints, what I'm saying to you, don't get into these arguments and these battles with these folk out here. They keeping these pagan holidays. They're doing all of these things. Allow them to do it. Let them be happy in doing it. Keep your peace. You know what I mean? Keep your peace. Glory to the King. And just move forward, you know. But I want to, you know, just encourage us. Fight war against Satan's kingdom. All right? Pray for one another. You know, we all need prayer. Each and every last one of us. Pray for our beloved pastor. You know what I'm saying? He needs it. Definitely. Pastor Corey. Pray for him. Keep him lifted. And so we're going to continue to do that. I want to encourage you also to continue to store food. Don't be caught, you know, as one of those foolish. Be one of the wise, saints. And continue to store food. Think I have anything else? Of course, you know, the scripture study has been postponed until further notice. And you will find out with it. But use the time to catch up, or use the time, you know, to get deeper and, you know, and study a little bit more and to catch up. Same as time to no time, y'all. Glory to the King. We give thanks, praise, honor, and most of y'all. Thank you all for joining me, Elder Donnie here. So we'll keep on this edition of Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. But I want y'all to listen to this, thanks. This is a very sobering message. It was sobering for me, I know for sure. Just hearing it and hearing it again. I've listened to it, I don't know how many times I've listened to it. But I want y'all to hear this and play this in your minds and your hearts. This was Pastor Dial. He got on right before Teacher Shane last month. And the date is 11/22/16. All right. So y'all be blessed though this week. Be encouraged. Hallelujah. Be encouraged. Don't let nobody steal your joy. Hallelujah. And do whatever you can to encourage yourself. At the end of the day, saints, we win. We have the victory. All glory and all praise and all honor to the Most High God. Bless y'all, saints. Lord, you can listen up.
See, that's the deception of today. And that's why many people don't have any discernment today. Because when you see somebody say, hallelujah, glory to the King, you fail that there's one ingredient that's not taking place. And that's the same thing that John the Baptist reproved the scribes and Pharisees for. The same thing that the Messiah reproved them for. He told both of them, told them, you both go back and repent. They had the law down to where they looked like they were lost. Ain't that you? Isn't that a lot of people today? But the main thing they were missing was a transform, a transformation of that wicked heart. See, outwardly, they wanted to make everybody think they were in the kingdom. And that they were really truly serving Yah, but the one thing they denied was the transformation of their wicked heart, just like many of you. That's why you resist and fight so hard of changing. Because last time I checked, a servant is obedient. You see, as long as we're claiming, like we like to say, saved, you know, we have that terminology in our vocabulary. We make everybody think that we're some type of, or at least we're presenting some form of obedience to the law. But when you reject the personal inner changing of the heart, then you've missed the kingdom. You've done no different like people that's going to make it. I told you, listen to this real close, because we don't hear, we don't read the word. If we do read it, we skip right over. That's why he said it's going to take this foolishness of preaching. Right? See, we miss things like this, is that there were many people that made it into the kingdom. And they were all doing fine while they were in the kingdom. But then when the king came in, he checked them. See, nobody else knew at that time that these people did not belong in the kingdom. But when the king came in, the king said, sir, how did you get in without a wedding garment? In other words, is it possible for someone to enter into the kingdom without a wedding garment? Yes, it is. See, many of you, your life, especially you out there on the other side of that camera, your life is filled with deception because you think that even if you get to the kingdom, you think you've made it. And we forget all about this vital point right here. You're going to be checked by the prophets. It won't be by the apostles, the pastors, the elders. It's going to be, you're going to be checked by the king himself. And I reiterate it again. The deception is you're sitting there at the banquet table. You're the people that in this life that resist the interchanging of the heart. You resist the Holy Spirit and the dying out to this flesh. And in his resistance, you have the law that is in front of you that makes everybody, including yourself, think that you're in the kingdom because you know how to obey the law. And so you climb up the wall, or you go in through the window, but you did not enter in at the door. And that's where a lot of people are at today. We're faithful when it comes to coming to assembly. We're faithful when it comes to doing our duties. We're faithful when it comes to living moral and being moral. But to change this wicked mind and to change this wicked heart, to be able to be conformed to his image, that we are not doing. And you got to make it to the kingdom. You just ain't staying. See, it's better for you to hear this now than to have regrets later. At least if you hear it now, just maybe there'll be an opportunity for your sorry ass to repent. Pastor Dow, I don't like the way you talk. I don't like them words. Don't worry about my words. Because if you can't handle my speech, and I'm here on this earth, you ain't heard nothing yet. Because a lot of people are going to be told, go to hell. You see, in other words, when you are deceived, so deceived, and your heart is so untransformed, and you're thinking that you're abiding in the kingdom because you're with the saints, or you're associated with the saints. That deception is going to cause you to be bound hand and foot and to be tossed out of the kingdom into outer darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're going to be a point of your portion with the hypocrites. Matthew 3:7 says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees, this is John, and the Sadducees, come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come. You mean to tell me these people right here that Christ said, whatever the scribes, whatever the Pharisees bid you to do, do it? He says, bring forth therefore fruits, meat, for repentance, and think not to say within yourself, we're Abraham. We have Abraham to our father. What they're about today, they want to identify with Israel on a nationality perspective and persuasion, while their wicked heart is untransformed. We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water to repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, who soon I am not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Emphasis put on. Bring forth fruit. Fruits that is meat for repentance. You wonder why you repeat the same thing over and over again? Because you want to inherit the kingdom, but you want to live life on your own terms. Brother Sam.
Hello? Can I hear me all right?